Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 130 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. In this episode, I get a chance to talk to Ed Randolph from Handsome Devil Barbecue in Hudson Valley, New York. Ed's a great guy, and this interview would just be cool if it was just about his background growing up in the Hudson Valley, and then his transition from another career to barbecue and growing that barbecue business. But he has a new book that just came out called Smoked, with a who's who of barbecue chefs and personalities and pitmasters in it. Anyone from Billy Durney to Sam Jones to Burt Bachman to Daniel Weinstock to Andy Husbands to Amy Mills to Leslie Rourke and on and on. And they share recipes. And the recipes are great recipes, really interesting recipes. Recipes that you'd be like, I can't believe they gave up this recipe, but that's the barbecue world. Everyone shares everything and wants to uplift each other, and they all want to share their recipes with Ed and do it for this book. So we get deeply into what the book's all about, and you're definitely going to want to pick that up. It's killer. I have the book. It's awesome. So we go into that, and then we also go into the fact that he is going to be opening a restaurant. He has a mill scale 1,000 gallon pit that he just got, and he's going to be opening that restaurant sometime this year in the Hudson Valley. So we end the discussion with that, but I can't thank Ed enough. You're really going to love this one. And as always, I am super stoked to have the Smoke Sheet on board as a sponsor for this podcast. The Smoke Sheet was founded by Ryan Cooper, who is at BBQ Tourist, and Sean Ludwig, who is at NYC BBQ. Coincidentally, Sean Ludwig wrote the intro, the foreword for Ed Randolph's book, Smoked. So that is super cool. It's a super cool tie. And congratulations on having the chance to write a forward it, Sean. That's awesome. But the Smoke Sheet is a barbecue newsletter. It arrives once a week on Wednesdays. Super easy to sign up. You go to bbqnewsletter.com, bbqnewsletter.com. It contains tons and tons of news and event information, so that way you don't miss out on any events. That alone would be a reason to get it. But the news, I'll scroll through the news, and there's things that I had no idea about, and I try to stay on top of everything in the barbecue world. It also has original content. This week, they have an original article by The Barbecue Diet. It was a super well-written article. They have original content. They have news. They have stuff on events. They have a barbecue recipe of the week. They have links to new barbecue YouTube stuff, new podcasts. Super chock full of information. And as I've said before, I read it from the top to the bottom. I scroll down and read through it all because it's pertaining to our world, and it's definitely something you're interested in. And if you are a restaurant or a PR agency, contact them, give them a scoop, because they'll add it. They'll definitely add anything new that's coming up. It's awesome. It's great for the barbecue world. Again, that's available at bbqnewsletter.com. That's bbqnewsletter.com. The Smoke Sheet, barbecue news worth consuming. And if you're digging these, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out on any episodes. Also, comment below. Let me know what you're thinking. Let me know if there's somebody else you want me to reach out to, or if there's something specific in this episode that you do dig. That way I get the information back to the person I talked to. They totally love that. Also, I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with links to all my podcasts, YouTube stuff, special event stuff. Everything is in that. But I can't thank you enough for listening. I do appreciate it. And if you are watching this on YouTube, you can see I'm wearing a Smoke and Biscuit Company hat. It's a rad hat, and they are a new barbecue joint, forthcoming barbecue joint that will be opening. They have a Moberg smoker that they just received, which is totally awesome. So be sure to follow them at Smoke and Biscuit Co. on Instagram and see where they're headed. But in the meantime, enjoy this episode. Thanks so much. Well, good evening, Ed. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing fantastic. I'm glad we got a chance to get this worked out.
I appreciate all your time.
And congratulations on the release of your book, Smoked. That's amazing, huh?
Yeah, it's a pretty cool project that I put together, and it was a little skeptical the publisher was in the beginning of putting this project together, because they really didn't think that barbecue kind of joints and pitmasters would be willing to give up a proprietary recipe and if it wasn't really a book for themselves. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they really understand the barbecue brethren and the family that we kind of have together that says this is a great project. Some people know, some don't. Actually, a portion of the proceeds of this book is going to Operation Barbecue Relief as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. Great to know.
So that really, it helps out, I think, everybody. You know, to me, it's all about paying it forward. And helping out people that in times of need and be able to put together a project like this, it's just kind of it's a win-win.
And that's interesting too, because I think that people outside of the barbecue world don't understand that brethren and that family, that barbecue family. People, everyone is really trying to lift everyone else up and help each other and make sure that we can continue doing what we were passionate about.
It is, and it's really funny because there's so many times people come to me and say, well, who has the best barbecue? You know, do you rather go down to, out to Kansas City, Texas, Carolinas, where are you going? And the one thing to understand is we all want to see each other succeed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, I mean, I think just everybody else kind of agrees, there's enough meat on the bone for all of us to do this. And I think one time I heard someone say, even there was Leonard down in Truth saying, you know, there's room for 100 barbecue joints in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so
let's do it.
Yeah, and that's funny too, because you would think, I had often thought like 5-10 years ago that we had peaked, and then it's still peaking, and it's amazing, and the barbecue world has expanded and grown, and there's so many new people involved. It's great.
It is, and I think it's really gone from something that was really traditional kind of cuisine that was just handed down from generation to generation that has now really turned into a global kind of cuisine, where we're starting to see a lot more of people using their environment and their local community to influence the flavors and influence what they're making.
I think that is the state of what barbecue is right now. It's that people are using their culture and their traditions and their blending, and it's not just a specific style. And there are people that are purists, but
yeah.
I think that's it's indicative of America in general, I think.
Yes. Yep.
And the United States. So what's your background? Where did you grow up?
I grew up just in the Hudson Valley area of New York, just a little rural town called Minisink Valley, really known for its farming. And my family, we were a bunch of farmers. So I'm literally the baby of the family, and I couldn't do any of the fun stuff and going out. So I was always behind with mom and grandma, and really learned that's where I kind of associated myself and assimilated myself into the cooking world.
Okay.
Is learning from a Polish grandmother and Italian mother.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting combination. What is the Hudson Valley like? It's always kind of mythic in a lot of people's minds.
It is. It's a really rich agricultural kind of area. And from, a lot of farming, you've got your orchards, your agricultural rich kind of territory. Mm. So it's really self-sufficient and really bountiful. So it's nice to be able to try to promote that when I go out and do stuff. And usually I try to bring a lot of our regional kind of flavors and profiles that we have here that I can bring with me on the road.
That's great. Now, was your dad cooking barbecue, your family or your uncles?
No, it just was a self-love, man. I just, cooking over a fire to me was always kind of cool because it was always different. It's your cook will never be the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, you put that cake in an oven 100 times, you're going to get the same cake probably 90% of the time.
Definitely.
You fire up a fire and you put a piece of meat on it, there's so many different things
from
the meat itself, so to me it was always just kind of intriguing to watch kind of how your cooks would differ every single time.
So was that a bug that got into you in college or after college?
No, I was even younger than that. I growing up when I was always enjoyed cooking. I always wanted to go into the cooking field, and I always thought I did. And not to say, people don't want to, make you go look forward for your dreams and pursue your dreams. Is my parents were both blue collar folks. My dad worked at a farm when he was in a warehouse. My mom was an EMT. So they understood the way to go is that they want their kid to go to college and get a degree and learn. So I went the college route and I became an accountant, and that's what I did for 20 years. And always cooked on the side. Always did, private events. We would do some catering stuff. And I would always have a party at our house every year, January 1st. We would call it the Friends, Family, and Freeloaders Party. Whoever wanted to come.
That's awesome.
It was a big barbecue that we do on January 1st, which is a weird time of year to do it in New York. But
yeah, it's kind of crazy, huh?
Yeah, we did, but it was the only day of the year that you really think that nobody does anything for the holidays. I mean, everybody, January, the New Year's Day, you're just usually either working off a hangover or just laying low.
And most people are home or close
to
home, yeah.
Exactly. So it worked. And at that time, my one friend said, dude, you've got to offer your product out to the public. And that pretty much was it. I finally just need someone to give me the good kick in the butt to say, let's go do this.
Is that when Handsome Devil started?
That is when Handsome Devil started. That was back in 2011, yes.
Okay. Let's see. So about 8 years ago. So now, you were doing primarily catering and maybe special things for people?
Yeah, I was doing all stuff before that kind of, without the IRS coming after me, just on the quiet and the down low.
Yeah, yeah.
Just doing some private stuff.
For friends.
Yes, absolutely.
But then, when did it progress to a point where this could be a career for you?
It progressed pretty much around 2011 when I decided that, this is going to be it. I want to put together a brand. And for me, it was coming up with a rub, two sauces, and a mac and cheese. I figured that those were, if I could have those staple items in me, then I could offer a product out there that I know we could work with And we did. So I spent almost an entire year in 2011 just really perfecting my rubs, my sauces, and I thought a pretty killer mac and cheese, which is in Smoked. If you want to get the copy of it,
I saw that. Yeah, that's excellent.
Not proprietary anymore, so it's there for everybody to use.
What was the initial reaction to your products?
Everybody enjoyed the products. My problem I had, which actually turned out to be a curse at first, but turned into a blessing, is all of my local events and organizers around here had the local barbecue guys. So really, for me to get myself out into the public was really difficult. That was most probably the challenging thing that I had to do, was just getting our brand out there and getting us exposure. So we were forced to travel. And we had to travel, we had to go to Connecticut, we had to go to Vermont, we had to start hitting the road and going to Maryland and doing all these events far away. But then we started to, get a great kind of, guerrilla following, underground following, and people want to know where we're going to be next. And we started to compete, and we were winning some KCBS competitions as well. So then, in reverse, my local events started calling and saying, why aren't you doing the local fairs? Why aren't you doing the local events
here? That's so funny. Isn't that funny how that happens?
Yeah. So kind of what was our curse turned into our blessing.
When did the germ of the idea for the book come up?
The idea for the book came up while we were on the road doing all of these events, because we would be on the road a lot, and you go to anybody's town, and the first thing someone's going to come up to is be like, hey, did you try Jimmy John's barbecue while you're
for
here?
Sure.
Hey, did you try Bob's place? Did you try this? And we did, and we tried a lot, and there's a lot of good barbecue out of there, and there's a lot of not good barbecue
out
there.
Of course, yeah.
But most importantly is everybody who ever met was, kind, friendly, and we all had a story to tell. In addition to our food, it was all, how did we get into this? Some people are in it from generations before.
For sure.
Others are like me that just got caught by the bug. You have somebody who's like a Bert who went to Texas and all of a sudden fell in love with
exactly,
this.
Exactly, yeah.
And then it becomes a passion. And so for me, this was always what I wanted to do for a book, was try to tell the story of Pitmasters, make it be a travel book, make it be a cookbook. So if someone's on the road and they're like, we're going to go to Nashville. Where do I want to go? There's 50 places we can go. Well, Carrie Bring will make some pretty kick butt ribs out there, and Pat Martin's got a great joint, so why don't we go to these places?
Yeah, that's a good, that's true too. I didn't think of it initially as like a primer or as a book, a road book that you can use for traveling. Mm-hmm. I looked at it as like traveling from your home to these places through the book, but actually, if you go on the road, bring this book, and that's great. Yeah, that's perfect, and it's great to choose spots that you want to hit.
Yeah, and my big vision in my mind is like, let's make this be a series, so maybe next week we could do another book that'll be just the Southeast, and then we could do one that is just Texas. So
for sure. You could for sure.
Yeah. I mean, and there's enough great barbecue joints out there that I think we could do that very easily. For this one though, the publisher came back to me and said, we wanted to limit it to 40 to 50 Pitmasters. And for me, it was also important to showcase not only the brick and mortar joints, but also some of the guys that do the competition side.
That's
who
great.
Who do concessions, who do catering, because a lot of times these guys are cooking on smokers and stuff that the homeowner has at home.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice that we get a recipe from, XYZ, but he's cooking on a $30,000 old hickory. But meanwhile, here's, Bill Gillespie from Smokin' Hog showing you how to cook on a Weber, kettle. Well, that's something I can do in my backyard, and that's something I'm familiar
with. That everyone
with.
Can do in their backyard, yeah.
So I think the book offers a wide kind of range of experience level type of recipes in it, and kind of allows the from the casual backyard kind of barbecue guy to somebody who's really serious about wanting to make really kick butt barbecue.
And when you have items too in, like, say you have, like, case in point, Bert Backman from Slab and from Trudy's Underground Barbecue, you have his brisket Benedict. You can cook your brisket any way you want to make that.
Yes. Yeah, and that's a fantastic recipe.
Being
lucky to have some of these recipes ahead of time, I've been able to try to work on some of them at the house. That brisket Benedict is a phenomenal Sunday morning. That's a winner here in our household.
Yeah, that's a winner anywhere. It would be you would impress anybody by doing that, except for a vegetarian.
Probably yes.
But now, so do you want to, let's go first off. The name of the book is.
Name of the book is Smoked. It's called One Man's Journey to Find Incredible Dishes, Standout Pitmasters, and the Stories Behind Them.
Yeah,
so we tell the story of the pitmaster. We kind of give some of them is the story of how they got into it. Others are of the actual place, their brick and mortar joint. Try to put the reader into their establishment. I kind of go through some of the food that we tried, and then we dive right into the recipe that they provided us.
And then the photography is done by Ken Goodman, right?
Ken Goodman, which was phenomenal. When I kind of did this book, and I finally got the green light from the publisher that says, you know, if you think you can do it, rock and roll. I reached out to The Shed, who just won Memphis in May, and they were, this was last year, they were like, we're on board, we want to do it. 17th Street, Amy Mills came back and said, yes, put us in the book. And then the publisher called me that same day and said, Ken Goodman's your photographer. I'm like, I better go get a lottery ticket because I just hit the fair. This is phenomenal. I love Ken. I've competed against him a few times, and I didn't like him when I competed against him because his team is really good.
Yeah, that's true.
He's a phenomenal photographer.
And he has a specific style that's very unto himself, and it's beautiful, and the photography is beautiful in the book. And then so do you want to kind of do like a little bit of rundown of who's in the book, because I think people would love to know. And
so one of our favorite stops was Buxton Hall. Visit Elliot down in Asheville. Great guy.
That's a dream spot.
Yeah, and we were lucky that when we rolled in there with Ken to take the photos, that they were delivering the hogs for the morning. Oh. So it was great visually just to see the guys just walking in, 8 or 10 hogs, right? And Elliot was just right there behind them, you know, kind of inspecting everything. Really, really great place. I mean, everybody on that staff is phenomenal.
Elliot Moss is just he's a witch. He's a genius.
It's unbelievable. You know, he's like almost like a mad scientist. Yeah. He sees his mind working, and the food is great. His chicken, I mean, I know his pork is great, but his chicken was out of this world.
I've heard like even his desserts are amazing. Like it's just everything, like the whole experience.
Yeah, it was nonstop. That was the one place. There and Fox Brothers were the two places that when I did this trip, I brought my daughters with me. Cool. So it was a family trip. My wife and we made a kind of an old school kind of put the kids in the car and we're going to drive for 8 hours today to go to 5 barbecue joints. Nice. And you would think that with 3 young girls that they'd be like, oh, but it was kind of reminiscent of old school America, the old time. There was no phones. Nobody had to worry about it. And we made it a road trip just, you know, if we see something, pull over and we're going to go visit it. Cool. So if it's a produce stand, farmer's market, donut shop. And also on the plus side to this is Ken Goodman did this with his family as well. So there was a good portion of the trip that we did as one large group of 2 families just doing a tour of the U.S. And I think it was really great for both families.
That's really special. That's something they'll take with them forever.
Yeah. So it was a good shot. So from Buxton Hall, we went over to Fox Brothers, and they put out a spread that was – it's unbelievable when you think that you can't eat anymore and you just keep on, you know, diving into more and more food. It's good stuff.
And those guys are doing an impressive job, and they're even doing brisket in Atlanta, which is something that people
– It was. It's unbelievable. In the book, we also have the likes of Billy Durney, hometown. He puts together – Russ gives us his rib recipe and his lamb belly banh mi, 2 great dishes.
Which are some of like his signature dishes that he's giving you recipes in, which again lends back to the barbecue bread and the family. Billy's just a warm, warm human. He's just a great guy.
He is. He's the most gentlest guy I think I've met. And so many people think he's so intimidating, and I'm like, it's Billy. And when I met with him and talked with him, he's like, all right. He's like, recipe do you want? Do you want the cream sticky ribs, the lamb belly? And I'm like, well, you know, my eyes are like, are you sure? And he's like, well, just take both of them. And I'm like, you know, again, just to feel that we want to see everybody succeed, and we want people at home to be able to make this.
But even just with those 3 things, and then The Shed, and then Amy Mills, like that's a book.
Yeah.
But there's more.
There's more. We have Sam Jones in there, the likes of Home Team, U-Bonds, Peg Leg, the Lewis Barbecue, Truth, Holy City Hogs, Tank Jackson. Didn't realize, you know, when I was putting the book together, I wanted to put a part in there where our product comes from and really show people the high-quality pork that he's raising. Came back in the publisher, of course, gave me a little pushback. Wasn't much, saying we need to have recipes from everybody. And then Tank's like, well, you know, he was giving me a recommendation of where to eat that night. And he's like, you have to go to Surf Bar in Folly Beach. So there's a little plug for the Surf Bar. But, you know, Tank says, you know, at one time I was like the pastry chef there. And I'm like, what? You know, you're a hog farmer. So he says, yeah, he goes, so he provided us one of those old school icebox dessert pies, you know, they would call. So it's a pretty cool peanut butter
pie. That is so cool. That's, and he's such a huge, like an amazing individual unto himself. Like he's like,
a great personality with a lot of passion.
For sure.
That guy is, he's got a huge heart. Then we go a little old school. We have the Salt Lick. We do Black's Barbecue in Lockhart as well. So, you know, we have, I'm not sure if I mentioned Truth, they're in there.
Yeah.
Swig and Swine, you have the smoke shop, Andy Husband's place up in Massachusetts. So this tour pretty much covers 15 to 20 states. We were all over the place.
And see, that's also something too. I was talking to Sean Ludwig recently, who has a smoke sheet, and he and Ryan Cooper have the smoke sheet, but he did the forward for your book. He has NYC BBQ, and he he was talking about his relationship with you, but it was interesting. He was talking about how this book contains the most Northeast barbecue joints of any book out there, which is true. It's so true.
Yeah. So we pretty much have a lot in there. We have, and I try to do a good mix. I mean, we have Izzy's Smokehouse in Brooklyn, which is all kosher.
Kosher, which is
I
amazing.
mean, it's crazy. I have Monk's Meats, which is all vegan in New York City. You wouldn't believe it. He does an oyster mushroom sandwich that when you look at it, smell it, you would think it's pulled pork. You'll taste it, you'll think it's pulled pork. He'll tell you it is oyster mushrooms, and you'll be like, get out of here.
That is awesome, and that's cool to include that for the
Yes.
vegan. Yeah.
Yep. And then we have Char Bar in Kansas City gave us a jackfruit sandwich, a smoked jackfruit, which is well. So I try to include kind of every. I mean, it's barbecue. We all have a passion for it. No one says it has to be pork. It has to be brisket. It has to be chicken. It's all we have kind of a passion for and maintain the integrity of kind of what we've learned traditionally over the years.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you also have LA joints. You have
We do.
Maple Block Meat. You have Daniel.
Daniel's phenomenal. I'm actually going to be there Friday night doing a little pitmaster dinner with him.
Oh, I saw that. That's really cool.
Yeah, so it's really cool. I mean, I think it's almost already sold out. He's just been promoting it in-house and getting a great response.
He has a
So,
great following. He's an awesome guy,
yeah,
yeah.
awesome. So we also have Max City Barbecue.
Eagle Rock.
Yeah. So Jason was a really good guy. Made a great tri-tip, and his mac and cheese actually surprised me when I went there to have it the first time because it tasted like an East Coast mac and cheese. Just had that kind of just was really kind of sharp and had it. And then I come to find out talking to him that without giving up all his secrets, but I guess well here that he kind of imports his cheese from Vermont. So it's again it's just showing that his kind of passion for the
Yeah,
craft
the
of.
passion. I was gonna say he has a lot of passion. When I met with him and talked to him, he has a lot of passion.
He's good, and then we have Bert. So Bert at the time was with Trudy's, and for me, he was like I wanted him in the book because he was the biggest enigma. Kind of would say is everybody was talking about Trudy's Underground
About
because
this guy in his backyard, yeah.
and he has again just a phenomenal personality. So I literally was able to do the book right when he opened up Slab. So we did a little mention of Slab, but Trudy's is there. I'm gonna be with him Saturday night. He's joining me at Now Serving in L.A. to do the book release at the bookstore,
That is
and then
awesome.
Sunday I'm going to lend a hand and be his dishwasher or a cutter or something when we're doing the LA Food Bowl together. So
That's
that's going to
awesome. That is really great. And it sounds like you're just as passionate about all the people. You're just as excited about all the people in the book as someone who would pick up the book. And it hasn't been lost on you how great it is that all these people are in your
No,
book.
it actually inspires you to do more. I mean, and then that's when I kind of said, even in the book in the intro, is when you go to eat at these places, if you stop in, or even if it's a place that's not in the book, ask the pitmaster's there. Ask him his story. Ask him what he did. Ask him how he made the meat the day. Everybody's got a passion, and you can feel it. And I think it comes out in the food too when you're actually eating it that you can tell the love that somebody puts in with it. I tell my kitchen all the time that they're laughing at me. I said, we got to dance with our meat boys. And I start dancing in there. We have the music playing. And it's just what you have to do because you have to enjoy what you're doing.
That's awesome. So do you foresee yourself having a restaurant someday? Is that something like what's the future
Yeah,
for you?
I had one. Just came into a little lease negotiations on the
Yeah, I
lease
remember that,
renewals.
and that was in New York, right?
Yes, yep, in New York. So now we have, we're working on our own brick and mortar again. And just put an offer in on a place that I'm hopeful that they'll take it this time. So I'm kind of not to say I'm tired with landlords, but I just want to be able to say that I have my own place. That if you come in and be like, Ed, why'd you put a hole in that wall? Be like, well, Kevin, you told me to. So it's I want to have our own place, and when people come, they know it's a place for the next 10, 20, 30 years.
And what style? Because you seem to gravitate towards a lot of different styles. Like, what do you think your restaurant will be serving?
The restaurant will serve a lot of traditional barbecue. However, with our kind of like kind of local and regional kind of my community's kind of flavor profiles on it. So in our area here, we're really rich with the orchard. So all of my wood we smoke with is pretty much apple wood. So our stuff has a little bit more of a sweeter flavor barbecue than you probably would come accustomed to. We like to go a little heavier on like the thicker sauces and stuff like that. Just we're really hurting for it, especially around here. I mean, I think there's more and more areas are starting to come to realization that there's barbecue out there, and then there's the right barbecue.
Yeah, exactly.
So the guys from MillScale hooked me up, but I got a nice 1,000 gallon MillScale sitting
Oh, do
out
you have a
there.
mill scale?
Oh, it's phenomenal. I mean, I fall in love with that thing. I'll fire the thing up to make like five chicken wings on it, and people think I'm crazy. I fall in love with it. Matthew and Caleb do a phenomenal job.
The mill scale guys, they did the smokers for Franklin, and they're
Yep.
doing pits for everyone. They're backed up now. They're extremely busy. That's amazing. That have you so you've actually gotten that pit. That's a That's
Yeah,
cool.
I've got it sitting right out here outside, man. I think the fire, my, I put the smokestack in the air, the neighbors know it's time for a party.
So is your restaurant going to be in the Hudson Valley?
Yes. Yeah, we're
That's
in the Hudson
cool.
Valley. So that's what we're looking to do, which is about,
Yeah, how
an
far
hour
away is that
north
from the city?
of, about an hour north of New York City. We're
Okay.
literally like 65 miles, so it takes an hour and 15 minutes.
And you have to drive. There's not a way to get there mass transit wise, right?
There is, but we have a train station that train does come up out of the city and does come directly up to the Hudson Valley. So there's
Oh.
stops in Poughkeepsie and Beacon, which are just right by us as well.
Shows what I know.
Yeah. No, we do have most transit that comes up here.
Oh, that's cool. That's awesome. So that would be pretty simple for someone too if they came into the city. Could they come up the
Oh,
train? Is
absolutely.
that okay?
Yeah.
Okay,
Yep.
cool.
And we've been doing a lot of stuff with the city as well. So we're down there quite often. Matt from Pig Beach, we work with him on a bit. So we're trying to do a couple of days that we can come down there and
I
maybe
saw you at the benefit
whatever.
too.
Oh, that was phenomenal. Let me tell you what a great feeling that is to do
So
something for
important.
Chef Jeff and to see the turnout. I mean, you had the Mills family came in, you had Ubon's folks come into town, Carrie from Peg Leg. It was humbling to me. And I think that it's just the respect and again the love that the barbecue family has that this could happen to any of us. I mean, Jeff went to work that day and it just was immediate that he just passed away right there at work.
Oh.
So left behind a wife and a young daughter. So it's kind of I think all of us realize that at any time
Yeah.
it's our family. So let's take care of them. And I hope we do it again. I hope it's next year because it was great. I brought my family there. My daughters were working it, and they really saw
I
they fell
saw
in
that.
love
That
with
was
that.
really
Yeah.
neat. You had some really cool
Yeah.
photos from that. And it's also
Yeah.
neat too, like that is what happened there is very that's an example of what you talked about, the barbecue family. People were coming from all over there.
Yeah, I mean, and I try to equate it not to downplay any of the cuisines, but when was the last time you saw all the pizza guys get together?
Oh,
It's not.
yeah. And I've always mentioned like sushi. Like you never see like the
Yeah.
sushi guys.
It
It's a very unique and wonderful community that we're part of. And I'm so excited for your book. And it must be a really exciting time. This is like just to doing like these book tours. You're going to be going all across the United States or just these quick
Yeah,
ones
all
right now?
across. I'm heading out to LA this week. Next week, we're at Memphis in May. I'll be with the Peg Leg Porker team.
Oh, that's cool.
And then I've got a call from a call and an email from both Anthony at Swing and Swine and Fiery Ron at Home Team that want me to come down to Charleston and we want to put together something as well. So for me, I enjoy it because it allows me to help promote them and really, I wrote a book. It's the book. I kind of was just kind of maybe the facilitator that was able to put it all together. But to be able to share their story with others and promote it and whatever we can do, then let's knock it out of the park.
Yeah, you're shining a light on all these restaurants,
Yep.
and opening their eyes. And people use these as guides, and it's something
Yeah.
that they could because they get a little insight into what they're thinking or their recipe and how they came up with the recipe. I think it's great. I'm very proud of you. It's
Well,
awesome.
thank you. I'm very grateful and I'm very thankful that after a little bit going back and forth that the publisher and I we came together with a great idea and it kind of worked out for both of us.
Well, cool. Well, look forward to meeting you this weekend here in Los Angeles. And
Yes, yes.
this is great. Thank you for taking the time and explaining this. Well, thanks so much, and enjoy your evening. And have a safe trip out here to Los Angeles. And again, look forward to
You
meeting you.
should see you this weekend.
All right, take care.
Take care. Be good.